Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. New Covenant Christian Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. Our Sunday gathering is at 10 a.m. We trust you are blessed as you pore over God's Word with us.
Oh, the seas lift up.
Well, this is week three in a series devoted to exploring the power of God. And so as a preface, let's remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2 when he says that when I came to be with you, I decided that I was going to forget everything except for Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timidity, really, trembling. My message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so that you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. I did this so that you would trust in the power of God. And more than once, Jesus corrected the religious. Now, I want to emphasize that. He corrected the religious. Particularly the religious leaders of his day, who were using religion to really diminish people significantly. And he said this to them. He corrected them by telling them that they were mistaken. And that their mistake was that they did not know the scriptures or the power of God. And so we're going to want to live our best lives now, right? I mean, if we're going to want to live our best lives now, then we have to understand the power of God, because the religious are susceptible and particularly prone to having a form of godliness but denying its power. And in fact, there's a great warning in Scripture about not becoming one of those people. And one of the earmarks of people who lose touch with God's power is their hearts grow cold. Actually. And so part of that is the effects of lawlessness. Part of that, a big part of it. In fact, I would say the vast majority of the reason why people's hearts grow cold is because the effects of lawlessness. It's not always that you are a lawless person, therefore your heart grows cold. Typically what happens is we get impacted by the effects of lawlessness, by people who are living not according to the law of the Spirit, which we'll refer to here in a few more moments out of Romans 8 again, but they would be living according to their own nature, their own sinful nature, and as a result of that, sin impacts the lives of people. The effects of that bring brokenness. And brokenness, I believe, just as a reaction to it being impacted by the effects of sin or sin itself, like being wounded by that, causes us to shut down and our hearts grow cold. I mean, we form these tremendous layers of protection, self-protection, and we dissociate from the very source of love itself. Which is God, but it's God who actually took up residence in our own heart. Anyway, I'm going off on this thing. It's really important for us to remember that there's a warning, that the effects of lawlessness will cause our hearts to grow cold. We might maintain a form of godliness, but we will deny the power of God in that. And that's what religion does to us. It props us up. We'll have this form of godliness, but we will lose touch with the very source of life and love itself. And so we want to live our best lives now. And so we want to actually trust the power of God, know the power of God. We want to be able to draw some really clear conclusions about what's motivating our hearts, what's motivating our decisions, what's motivating our lives. I mean, last week, we actually did a compare and contrast on the power of the human soul and the power of the spirit. And our souls are powerful. And remember the connection that we made last week with this idea about the power of God and light. And then I drew out of this scripture out of Luke 11. For those of you who weren't here, I'm going to go ahead and quote it. I'm just going to read this. This is a wild passage out of Luke 11, 33 and 36. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. Good as in healthy. When it is bad or unhealthy, then your body is filled with darkness. Be sure that the light... This is like a really convicting verse for me, and I want it to be for all of us, because God in his kindness would actually shine his light on anything in our lives that masquerades. Make sure that the light that you think you have is not actually darkness. Now, remember, we're kind of linking light with power. So remember this passage here in that context. Make sure that the power you think you have is not actually ego. If you are filled with light with no dark corners, remember I talked about haplus and how haplus is like the cloth is spread wide open. There's no part of it that has any hidden folds. So then your whole life will be radiant. So there's no hidden folds of darkness in where? In your soul. And then your entire life will be radiant or powerful, as though a floodlight were filling you with light, as though the source of power itself was filling you with power. You can live an empowered life, and your soul can be brought along and shine radiantly to the world around you. So it takes something more than, you know, a keen awareness of your own, like, in your own discernment, like, what is the soul and what is the spirit? It takes more than yourself to suss that out. Namely, the words of God, right? They're powerful and they're able to delineate between soul and spirit. And secondly, last week we poured over 1 Corinthians 14 and we explored how praying with your spirit directly to God. And as 1 Corinthians 14 describes it, it's praying with a gift of tongues. It empowers or edifies you. This gift's going to build you up. It's going to fill you with light, as it were, when you ask God to give you an interpretation of what your spirit is saying. And this is the part where we're going to start to veer off into today's message. And it has to do with this idea that you not only pray with your spirit, but also with your mind. And this is what, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, I pray that I would not only allow my spirit to intercede, but I would also allow my mind to be praying as well. I would not only sing in the spirit, but I would also sing in English, as it were in my case. So the soul and the spirit in concert, just communicating to the Father, communicating to Jesus what has been on his heart for us as he's making intercession for us. And so let's look at Romans 8. Hey, if there's ever a verse about empowerment, it's Romans 8, you know, the whole chapter, really. So let's go to Romans 8. Again, one of the most empowering chapters in the Bible. And we're going to start with verse 26. So Romans 8, 26 and 27, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. So again, just a nod back to this idea about the gift of praying in the Spirit, in a tongue that is of the Spirit, with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's own will. So this is a beautiful concert of the Holy Spirit delivering to us the heart and the mind of God himself our spirits resonating with that, praying it out, sometimes without elaborate tongues, but with groanings. And that is a form of intercession. And as we are groaning, or as we are praying with the Spirit, we are praying what God desires for us. We're praying what is the most pure and the most right and the most in tune with what God's heart is for you, your family, your situation, the people that you're thinking about when this is happening. And then the beauty of it is, and this is where, you know, the miracle happens, is as Paul taught us in 1 Corinthians 14, we not only allow the Spirit to intercede through us in ways that words cannot express, we also ask for an interpretation so that we can also pray with our minds. Our minds, those amazing instruments of our soul, our minds. Can we admit that not every thought we have is divine? Oh my gosh. I woke up this morning with a thought. I thought the soul is extremely powerful, but not always right. Right? The soul is extremely powerful, but not always right. My soul is extremely powerful, but not always right. And the reason why I had this thought is because earlier this week, my soul got triggered by something that someone said. And looking back, they were as pure as the driven snow. Like, their heart intention was absolutely spot on, perfectly fine. Me, however, receiving that message through a prism of my own brokenness, my mind began to run with some thoughts that were actually rehearsing a narrative that began long before I even met this person. There's a hidden fold for you. And who has the capacity to suss that out? Only the Holy Spirit. Now, I can stand here with some happiness because it only took me a day to start figuring out what was happening, as opposed to the 3 or 5 or 7 days that maybe it would normally take, or maybe I would never even get there. And the way that it worked for me was, Jesus woke me up at 4:30 in the morning. Okay, I won't blame him for that. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and Jesus was like, okay, I got you now. Because you can't move. You're so sleepy right now, you can't even get up. Got you. And I started thinking about what was happening in the place of my soul. I didn't like how it felt. I didn't like what it was doing to me or to the relationship. And so I just simply asked Jesus to come and to help me. And so the power of God began to work in me to get off that old narrative and to get on his narrative, to remember the bigger story, to actually begin to see that person whom I love through his eyes in a way that just, I mean, instantly quieted any sort of indictment against them. You guys get where I'm going with that? I mean, this happens, right? This is the stuff of life. So if this isn't practical, if this doesn't meet us where, like, we live, then we'll have a form of godliness, but we'll deny its power. Because one of the things that I wanted to talk about this morning is about the power of God that's at work within us. You know, I've shared this story. It's a story that I learned from my mentor in formational prayer. It's a counseling program. It's a certificate program I'm in. And Terry Wardle, he tells this story, and it kind of seemed appropriate in light of today's message. And it's entitled, and I know I've shared it here before, so if you've heard it, just kind of go with it again. It's just a brief thing about Jesus meeting us in our place of need. So imagine you're driving your car and it's a blizzard and you're far from home and you're far from everything, actually, and you're on this country road and you can't tell which way is up. It's dark, it's night, the white out, the snow is blowing horizontal, and sure enough, your car ends up in a ditch. And so you do everything you can to stay warm. You clear the snow from the tailpipe. You crack the window, and you keep the car running a little bit, and you hope that you don't, you know, asphyxiate yourself. And the heater's going, and all of a sudden you run out of gas. And there's no way that you can walk this out. And so you begin to pray, and you ask Jesus for his help. You're just basically saying, I need you to rescue me. And not too much longer, you see the amber lights of a tow truck coming towards you. You're like, what? And sure enough, the tow truck pulls up, guy gets out, raps on your window, roll your window down, and it's Jesus. He's like, I'm here to rescue you. I want you to get in my cab, puts a blanket over your shoulders, pours you some hot soup. He goes, I got this. He goes and hooks up your car, and away you go. So that's one possible outcome. The second possible outcome is you're sitting there, you ran out of gas, you're cold, you know if you don't get help, you're probably going to freeze to death. And so you pray, and it seems like a long time goes by, but then it startles you when someone raps on your window. And you roll your window down, and it's Jesus, and he's got icicles hanging off of his beard. And he's like, can I come in there with you? Yeah, so you let him in, and you're there with Jesus in your car, and you realize that you're still freezing. And so you finally get up the nerve after you get over that awkward moment of thinking, okay, this is going to be weird, and you ask Jesus to share some body heat with you. And so you embrace, and then you warm up enough to fall asleep. Now, this story can end a couple ways. Maybe the sun rises and it begins to warm up your car and you and Jesus shake off the chill and you're like, whoa, that was something. And you live to tell the story. Or in your sleep, you die. We don't like that part of the story. We like tow truck driving Jesus. But you know what? While you were embracing in the car, he began to talk to you, and you began to talk to him, and you experienced something of intimacy with Jesus that you had never experienced before in that real dark and cold place. And this is an interesting dilemma that we find ourselves in, especially as a community of faith. Not just in word, but in action. Like, we want to put our faith into action. We want to pray for the sick and watch them recover. We want to pray for those who have actual needs. We want to watch the manifestation of God's power at, you know, at work and moving to bring miracles and to bring actual rescue into people's lives, like to change the course of where they were going, what was happening in their world. We want to pray for their kids and watch them like have this radical come to Jesus meeting and have a spiritual awakening. You know what I mean? Like, we want that type of power. I like tow truck driving Jesus. But I've also discovered there's an intimacy that we can have with the power of God in the interior place of our life, even if the circumstances in our world do not change. That's the power that I want to talk about. If we're not careful, we will only land on the power that orients itself towards the external expression of God's power. I'm not saying one's better than the other. Both, please. I'll take both. And so most of us fall prey to our culture and its material worldview, right? I mean, we have been trained to allow the material world, the external stimuli of what's happening around us, outside of us, to really not only validate us, but even motivate our decisions, you know? I think that's the result of pop culture, where external stimuli help us make decisions. And like I said, even in the church, somehow we value the power of God on display, right? So that's good. And I want us to understand the power of God. And I want us to trust the power of God. And I want us to be empowered by God. And this morning's message is all about the power of God, but it's about the power of God at work within you as well. If we're not careful, I mean, if I'm not careful, I can convince myself that I'm full of light, empowered, and yet remain hidden in some folds of quote-unquote darkness, weakness, brokenness, those mysterious broken places in my soul that fuel my thoughts, those agreements that I've made with false beliefs that cloud my perception of what is true. I mean, those fragmented places of my heart that are still susceptible to the triggers that I was describing earlier that can send me into a tailspin. I think the intentional work that you and I have is to take our thoughts, those powerful, soulish, oh-so-limited, not-always-right thoughts that refract through the prism of our broken hearts, and we need to take those thoughts captive, and we need to bring those thoughts into the light of the Spirit. I cannot make it any clearer. This is a work that we get to intentionally say yes to. We get to lean into it, and we get to say, God, I get to choose if my soul is going to run this show or not. Or am I going to allow you, Spirit, who lives within me, to be in control? Again, Romans 8. And as I read this, let's bring this thought to mind here. Let's consider that the human mind is navigating between the influence of the ego and the influence of God. The ego, you know, it's what we would see here as described as the sinful nature or the flesh or carnality. I don't know what version of the scripture you have, but all this speaks to the human soul being in charge. All right? We have that, and then we have what's being described as the Spirit, and that speaks of the union of your human spirit with the Spirit of Christ. You know you have both, right? The soul and the spirit. And you know that the uniqueness of your spirit is beautiful. I want to just speak to that for a second here while I take a pause. It was said of Caleb that he was a man of a different spirit. He thought differently. He had a different perspective on things. He was seeing things from the lens of the Spirit. When the spies went out into the land and, you know, the 12 came back and only a couple of them were like, we got this. God's bigger than all of this. And the other 10 were kind of running all of that through the filter of their soul and they're like, we're grasshoppers. We got nothing. Clear contrast. All right, so the human spirit, just like every human body is unique, just like every personality, their souls are unique, it's my personal belief that every one of your human spirits unique. And when it is joined with the Spirit of Christ and the two become one, which that language, that bridal language works. The two becoming one. I in him, him in me, together we are one. This is John 15. Abiding with Christ. This is the abiding place, the inside of the freezing cold car, or the inside of like whatever circumstance you might find yourself in. Just ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That they would find something of the uniqueness of their spirit man, and I'll say man, not gender specific, just like us guys have to get over getting called the bride of Christ, ladies, you have a spirit man, woman. It's the spirit in you that's been infused with life, brought to life, I just want to say that your spirits are beautiful and unique. And there's no cookie cutter Christian in this room. Seriously. And how fun is it to discover that for yourself and to discover that for the ones that you love and for us to discover that in each other. So I wanted to say that before I read Romans 8, 5, and 6 and then down to 9. Those who are according to the flesh, remember that soul nature, they set their minds on the things of that nature, the soul nature, the sinful nature, the flesh, carnality, whatever you want to call it, it's the same. To me, it's the ego. And those who are according to the Spirit, which I would call the divine nature. Now, I didn't steal that from a New Ager. I actually stole that from Peter, who wrote, "As we know Jesus more, his divine nature gives us everything we need for life and godliness, and we share in this divine nature." So it's actually the divine nature of Jesus Christ that's at work within us. As we get to know him more, his divine nature gives us everything we need for life and godliness. He empowers us. So the things of the Spirit. So the mind that is set on the flesh is death. It lives in the death zone. Remember last week I was talking about the guy who climbed all 14 of the 8,000 meter peaks in like 6 months. Talk about a powerful person and his team. Do you know that when you get above 8,000 vertical meters, your body does not receive enough oxygen at that altitude to actually regenerate its cells. So it doesn't matter how much you eat. Doesn't matter, you know, everything is like you're starving to death. You can stuff your face. Well, you physically, it's so difficult to actually eat at that altitude that your body begins to break down. Your cells do not regenerate. That's why they call that the death zone. All right? So the mindset on the flesh is death. It lives in the death zone. It cannot regenerate itself. That's the point. Our souls are incapable of regenerating themselves. The mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. It has the support of using this analogy of supplemental oxygen. All right? So, verse 9, however, you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Truth is, as believers, you have the sustaining power of God inside of you. You have this. This is the truth. You may not access it. You may not have experienced it on an ongoing basis, but the truth is, you have the sustaining power of God inside of you. He is your life source. He is what regenerates you. You're not in the death zone anymore. Okay? So God's power is at work within you, and it's a patient work that renews our soul. So I love Psalm 23 where he says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. There's this truth about God's presence in our life that restores us, that regenerates us. And it's an ongoing process of the Lord regenerating us, and not only regenerating like a sustainable energy, but he regenerates our souls. So any place where your soul has experienced damage, any place where your soul has experienced a rupture, brokenness, as the result of lawlessness or sin on the earth, if you have been inflicted in any way by the sins of another, if you have ever experienced, and I know we all have, so a lot of this is rhetorical, we all find ourselves in this place of need. In fact, if we really knew how much we were in need, like we would grow more and more desperate for the power and the presence of God in us. It's almost as though part of our coping mechanism is to deny the very fact that we have such a great need. The effects of sin have riddled us And I'm not speaking anything that's like, I don't know, diminishing to you at all. I'm just saying, look, this is the effect of being a human being in a broken world. We have a need for God to regenerate our souls, to restore our souls. And this is what he does in the interior place of our life. And this is the power of God at work. This is the power of God at work. And so I want to finish out by reading 2 Corinthians 2. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you're making notes, it's verses 16 through 18. Before I go into that, I feel like I just need to riff here for a couple more minutes. Some of you are relatively new to this fellowship, and I want to give you just a little glimpse into the philosophy that I have related to the power of God and the work of God as it pertains to God restoring our souls, God healing our hearts. So when Jesus came out of the wilderness, anointed with power by the Holy Spirit, he came into a synagogue and he opened up the scroll and he began to quote out of Isaiah, and he says, "The sovereign Lord has anointed me to preach good news." And he goes through a list of things that he has come to do: give sight to the blind, freedom to the captive, to bind up the broken hearts. We can kind of glaze over that if we're not careful. There is so much in that. At least I know that this like orientation that I have is not the fullness of what God is doing on the earth. I get that. But this is my part. Like, this is what I see God doing for me and helping people grow okay with a journey of wholeness that could bring to them some emotional health, that could help them in the place that gets so much stigma in our culture, especially in the church, when it comes to mental health, when it comes to emotional stability, when it comes to relational health and wholeness, when it comes to all of these things. It's like, wow, we could have all the spiritual, like religious language about what God wants to do, what God wants to do through us. We could be outwardly focused on the ministry that God has for us, the ways that we can help people, the ways that we can speak of truth. But I'll tell you what, in my opinion, humble opinion, it's only to the degree of our emotional health that we will be able to attain these high and lofty ideas. Because we'll get to a point where if we're not allowing the power of God to be at work within us, to restore us, to change our narratives, to bring healing to those ruptured places, then those triggers, and a lot of them will bring sabotage in some way, shape, or form, they will limit us to this level. I don't know, it's just for me, it's like, I see it. And I want to be a safe place where people can actually begin to explore that for themselves and not have to live in a concealed life of shame or fear that they're going to be found out. Okay, the truth is we're all found out. And we're all found wanting. And we're all found in a desperate need for the power of God to move in our lives. And so as I read this out of 2 Corinthians 4, it's in that spirit. It's in that, like, invitation, really, into this journey of wholeness. So let's not lose heart. It says this in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "We do not lose heart. Though our outward man is decaying," and that could be speaking of your physical body, but, you know, as I layer in what I just shared, I mean, there's a decay that can be happening. The soul cannot sustain itself. You can't fix what's broken with what's broken. "Yet your inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." In other words, Jesus willing to come into your freezing cold car will produce for us something of God's glory beyond all comparison, all right? It's not just about the rescue of the circumstance. It's about the rescue of your heart. Verse 18, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, they are eternal. And just to quote my daughter's favorite passage, Rachel's favorite passages, a passage which is Ecclesiastes 3:11, God has put eternity in the hearts of all people. So there's an eternal thing that God is doing. And so let's set our minds on the things that are unseen. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence or if anything worthy of praise, let's dwell on these things this week, right? Good. Well, why don't you join me in prayer? Jesus, I just want to pray right now that whatever it is that you're doing in each of our hearts, that you would seal it by your Holy Spirit in your strong name, Jesus. Thank you that you're the one who is faithful to seize the moment and bring us into a conversation about healing. We do not have to go rooting around for this. This is something we just simply say yes to, and you give us opportunities to experience your Spirit in this. And just to bring it full circle back around, like praying in the Spirit and letting our minds kind of catch up to what's going on in the place of the Spirit as we're interceding, even with groanings that words cannot express. Lord, so often you have brought interpretation about what's really true. And it's so good. We say yes to that. We know that that kind of truth sets us free. And so I pray now, even Lord, as we've kind of touched the realm of the deeper things of the heart. We've touched the idea that our souls have been impacted, even ruptured. Lord, there might be some here who are experiencing emotions around that. And I just want to pray for your peace to come to each of our hearts. Jesus, I pray that your peace would guard our hearts and our minds, and that we would grow confident in knowing that you're faithful to do a renewal work in us day by day. And so we thank you for that. And we say yes to your power that is at work within us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is bringing life to us. So thank you, Lord, that we no longer live in the death zone without help. And so, Father, we just want to ask now that as we move into the rest of our day and into this week, that it would be a week marked by celebration, that there would be joy that would come to us, that we would be able to recognize and be affirmed that we are in a process and we are moving forward, that we are not stuck, that our old narrative does not dictate who we are or where we're going. That you have written a story and you're the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so we fix our eyes on you and we fix our eyes on the unseen world of your kingdom and all the things that that entails. And we choose to do that now with your strength. And we pray this all in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, if you're curious about ways that you can more deeply be involved with this community, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@me.com or like our Facebook page. Thank you and God bless.